Welcome once again to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts out there because each of these provide real value and insights on business and life. In our book, they are Real Hits, full episodes in their entirety. This way you can gain more value from other podcasters, personalities, and guests. On this episode of Real Hits, it is from the podcast called Get More Clients with Lynn Whitbeck. Get More Clients podcast with Lynn Whitbeck. And it is entitled Using Emotions and Motivations to Attract, Connect, and Convert Clients. So today you're going to learn how to use emotions and motivations to attract, connect, and convert clients. I encourage you, if you like this network, to subscribe to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to Get More Clients with Lynn Whitbeck. Oh yeah, if you'd like me, if you want to submit a podcast to possibly be featured on Real Hits, DM me on LinkedIn or email me ben@balbertmarketing.com. Uninterrupted, let's enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Get More Clients. I'm your host, Lynn Whitbeck, and I am so glad that you're here with us today. Business owners and entrepreneurs hire me to ignite winning sales because most are chasing down clients, stuck in a chaotic sales cycle, and lacking client retention, conversions, and profits. The mission of this show is to educate, inspire, and motivate women around the world to build a robust sales strategy to get more clients. Because most can't get more clients and haven't a clue why. You will learn to transform thinking to the client's perspective, end sales chaos with a robust strategic plan, and to harvest the hidden profits. Last week, we worked through the client why exercise. What do they want, need, or lack? What's in it for them? What's in it for your client? What's their desired outcome? And how does your client perceive the benefit? Ultimately, so they can. So they can what? Okay? And today, we're going to build on that progress and tie it down with motivations and emotional appeal. By the end of today's show, you will know how to understand your client's motivation, how to identify and match your product or service with your client's emotions, and position your product or service to fit your client's motivations and emotional desires. Using emotions and motivations in communicating your client why enables you to immediately pique their interest and attract their attention. Let's dive into motivations. Once you understand the client's why and have matched it to your product or service benefits and answered the so they can, now it's time to identify your client motivation. Understanding your prospect's motivation allows you to position your product or service to fit their desires. Motivation is the key reason why any of us do anything. Motivation is generated either internally or externally. So let's go into that a bit. Internal motivation is what drives us to make decisions based on our own wants and or needs. While external motivation is driven by outside factors in our environment. This could be your family, it could be your friends, it could be going what's happening in your community. So those external forces. Another factor around motivations is whether you as provide your service and cater to either a B2B base or a B2C base. And those client audiences are distinct. So let's talk a little bit about that, because you may have heard those terms and maybe not quite connected what they are. There's a business to business. That's the B2B. And this is where businesses are selling specifically to another business. I consider myself a B2B organization because I'm selling to business owners and entrepreneurs. The other aspect is a business to consumer business, B2C, and that's if you're selling to an individual or directly to the consumer of that product. So that can be where you, once again, you could be selling directly to the client or consumer. So in some cases, when you are like a business coach, you could be selling directly to the consumer. You could also have created a product. Let's say it's a new hand lotion. And that lotion is once again marketed and sold directly to the consumers. So they can go online to your store. They can find out about you in so many different ways, but that's how they purchase and connect with you to buy your product, B2C. And they're very different types of sales from a number of perspectives. Because when you're selling B2B and you're selling to that other business, they also have those other identifying factors of either running their business, running their organization, the people that they may be answering to, that they report to. So their area of motivations is more limited than a B2C, not them as an individual, but when they're really looking at this and thinking of this as a business transaction that's going to serve their organization. And so those are different types of motivations that they primarily are focused on. So here's the question that we want to ask. How does the problem that you solve or the solution that you deliver appeal to your buyer's motivation? Many of you may have heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Essentially, it establishes that as long as your food, as your food, shelter, and safety are taken care of, then everything else, such as your social connections, your relationships, and your ultimate self-fulfillment or self-actualization can be reached. And you can apply this concept to help you tap into your buyer motivations. Because there has to be a level of credibility, whether you're selling B2B or B2C. It's the confidence your prospect or client has in you. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to want to walk through how we're going to identify the motivating reason why your prospects want to buy from you. Is it a belonging? Is it a prestige from the client's standpoint? Is it for pleasure? Is it to be affiliated with a company or organization such as yours? So there are 7 core buyer motivations. Let's go through those one at a time. The first buyer motivation, comfort, pleasure. Now, this is primarily associated with the B2C market, although once again, your individual buyers in a B2B market may definitely feel this. When you think about comfort or pleasure, that could be that, let's say it's a pair of shoes. Like we have heard of like a brand like Easy Spirit or Skechers, and they're really focused on making sure that you have really comfortable shoes that you can, you know, walk the distance, you can stand on the job, that they're really focused on that comfort level, right? And so that's a way that they're tying in to attract their ideal client and communicate with them on their motivations, that it's going to motivate them. Pleasure and comfort are closely aligned, but pleasure can also be something where I'm really thinking about the commercial where I think it's, is it Lindt chocolates or is one of the chocolates where the person puts the chocolate in their mouth and they're, you know, that's like the pleasure of having that chocolate and, you know, all those feelings that they're having as they're just letting it melt in their mouth. And so that's evoking the sense of pleasure that they're enjoying that chocolate, right? So those are two examples for comfort and pleasure. Number two on our buyer motivations is avoidance of pain. So we're all familiar with avoidance of pain. That could really be tapping into, okay, let's talk about taxes. Certainly here in the US and many places in the world, we have taxes that we need to pay, federal taxes to the government. And here in the States, we have a number of different tax organizations that will cater to this avoidance of pain by working with them so that they get their taxes filed on time and that you don't end up being in trouble with the government. And so that's a great example of how you would tie into that avoidance of pain. But there's so many other examples. I've been using this ongoing example of a coach who helps people with their healthy eating habits for movement and energy so they can address type 2 diabetes health concerns. So there you definitely have avoidance of pain. There's so many different aspects of that when you have that type of disease and how you can help yourself by healthy eating, getting more energy, getting more movement so that you can avoid the pain that's associated with that disease. So there's a lot of different ways that you can use that number two motivation of avoidance of pain. And by the way, one, two, these are not like prioritizing. These are just seven different core motivations. All right. Number three, profit or gain. All right. Now, this is absolutely a core one when you're selling B2B. You know, they are looking for how your product or service is going to help them create more profit or gain a competitive edge in their marketplace against their competitors. So profit or gain is really a big one when you're looking at that B2B market. However, it's just as applicable for the B2C market, because that's how many people, like, you want to buy Bitcoin because it's going to help you potentially build up personal wealth or profit. And so that profit or gain, that's something that can be tied in. And it's definitely something that financial advisors would use in their marketing, right? So we have the profit and gain. Next, let's go to preventing loss. And of course, none of us want to experience loss, but there's a lot of different ways to look at this. And preventing loss can both be B2B or B2C. Now, in a B2B environment, when you're looking at preventing loss, you're going to be thinking about losing market share to your competitors. You could be looking at losing talent. We've just gone through, you know, the great resignation. Maybe we're still in it, that preventing your loss of the team members, that talent to stay on board. So there's a lot of ways that you can look at this from a B2B perspective. Now, from B2C, it's the same thing. There's all kinds of things to prevent loss. I mean, in a way, you know, we purchase insurance to prevent loss in the sense that, okay, it could be really horrible and our house burns down, but if we have insurance, we're going to be able to rebuild the house and replace the contents of that house, even though we've had to go through that horrible trauma. So it's a tie-in with that preventing loss. But there's all kinds of ways that you can use this of preventing loss when you're talking to directly to consumers. Like an anti-aging cream, you're preventing the loss of your youth and beauty, right? So there's so many different ways that you can tie this in. All right, let's move on to number five, belonging. You know, we're all human and we really do, as a species, desire to connect and belong. And this is a very powerful motivation. And you can see this utilized in many different ways by joining an organization and belonging to this greater mission. Belonging is used in so many different ways that when you buy this product or service, you belong to this community. You get to be connected with all of that. And so that's that sense of belonging. Some products or services are definitely geared towards that, especially such as providing membership or providing group activities. You know, think of meetups, right? It's that ability to belong and to connect. Number six is cause affiliation. Now, this is very powerful, both for B2B and for B2C, because some businesses have a cause that is dear to the heart of either the owner or the board of directors or the CEO, and that's going to permeate through the organization and become part of the culture of the organization. So cause affiliation is very powerful. And of course, the same with organizations that are selling directly to clients or to the B2C market. And so there, once again, there's a way to tap into that. So think of Tom's Shoes, right? How a certain percentage of all the shoes they make, or the socks, remember the socks? They make us donate a pair of socks for every sock that you purchase. That's a cause and affiliation that you feel really good about buying those socks, those Bomba socks, right? So that's how that works. And number seven is pride and prestige. Well, we don't have to look very far. And back in the day, I still remember the ultimate thing of prestige was having that Calvin Klein brand stamped to your hiney on your jeans, right? That you're wearing these fancy schmancy things. It can also be that you're carrying a Coach purse. Think of all the brands that associate with prestige and brand pride. There's a whole shoot and match of them. And it's how you set yourself apart from other people because you can afford this fancy thing, right? And so that's a great way to tap into that pride or prestige. It also taps into your own vision of how you are perceived. And pride and prestige is very powerful, once again, with that B2C market. So let's do a quick recap. In general, B2B buyers are motivated by some combination of profit gain, preventing loss, and cause affiliation. Remember, if you have a client who's highly motivated on a corporate level for a specific cause, then it's going to carry through their culture as a motivation. And B2C buyers can be motivated by any combination of attributes. So most people aren't going to be motivated by just a single thing. It's going to be a combination. And for you to capture your clients, you must frame your why, your answer to their perception with these underlying motivations. So you can truly connect more quickly and move them forward to work with you. And when you're appealing to your client's motivation, you want to answer the problem you solve and then ask, does that motivation have an emotional appeal? And here we are. Now we're going to move into emotions. By tapping into the emotions of your clients, you can make sure that your company stands out, or your organization, your product or service. You can harness a single emotion, such as happiness, sadness, anger, or fear, and it's going to help your prospects notice, remember, and to buy your product or service. People feel, you know, once again, we are a human species and we can't help but to experience emotions. So let's take this time to explore the top 10 common effective emotional triggers. Now, there's a lot more than just 10. These are the top 10. And as we go through these, I want you to think about when you have seen, heard, or read a sales or marketing piece or material, piece of content, and how that made you feel, and how those feelings affected your own buying decisions. Because it's important to appeal to the customer's emotions, and when communicating that, to move them to take action. Because feelings affect buying decisions, and you want to appeal to the customer's emotions, make them feel something, and that they will then act on those feelings. All right, our top 10. Number one, fear. Oh, yeah, this is a big one. And it's used in so many different settings. Let's go back to that example of the type 2 diabetes, the fear of those health issues. I mean, they are real. Death, that fear is very much used in so many different ways. I also use that example of insurance. And that's another example that you don't have enough insurance. And so you can't actually replenish your contents of your house when you're able to rebuild it, but you can't put the things back in. Okay. So that's one. Number two, guilt. Oh yeah. People are often easily affected by messages that trigger guilt. And this is a really powerful piece that's used in nonprofit. And it's really this idea that you don't want to let them suffer. And I know that when I see the commercials on TV, I can actually picture it right now in my mind. I want you guys to think about this and picture this as well. It's the commercial with the animals that are, I don't even want to go there. It's so powerful to me. It's just, it just hurts that they're, you know, and what you can do to help and help these animals so that they're not suffering, right? You know, join the Humane Society, participate in all these different ways that you can help animals. So, and many organizations tap into that, you know, World Wildlife Fund, the Humane Society. I mean, just picturing that, I think you can capture that and view those, think of those commercials right now. Okay. Let's move on to something else. So let's not dwell on that that's almost like pain. Let's go to number three, which is belonging. And I already said this, we all want to feel like we belong. Human nature drives our desires to feel to be a part of a group. And a classic way to incorporate this is that you're part of a family. You know, you can all think of that. You know, State Farm has their little jingle, you know, that, you know, you're part of the, you know, this family, you know, that State Farm is there. They're part of your family. So this is used in so many different ways. And of course, wherever you are in the world, you may not have heard of that brand or that company, but you can connect the dots and think about organizations that talk about being part of the family. Okay. Trust is number four. Wait, am I at number four? Yeah, I'm at number four, trust. And trust is crafting statements and content that evoke feelings of trust. So I know I used the financial advisor before, but another way to do that with financial advisors is sort of a classic is that there's no hidden fees, right? You can trust us with your money because we're not going to be charging you all kinds of ratcheting up these hidden fees. Okay, number four is value. No, five. We're at five, aren't we? We're at five. We all want to think we're going to get a good deal. All right. And so this comes across in all kinds of different ways. I actually just had this when I was at Staples and they literally said, if you find a better price and you can show it to us online, we're going to match it. Right. And so that was right there. And they told me that when I was in the store. So number six is competition. All right. So we're talking about emotions, the desire to feel equal to or better than your peer. And you've all heard the old adage of keeping up with the Joneses. And so these are those commercials that you see where somebody is, you know, parking their brand new car and it's like, oh, well, I want a brand new car. Right. So it's that type of thing. And number seven is trend setting. You know, you want to feel cool. You want to feel trendy. And, you know, that's like all the cool kids are doing this. They're all riding these really spiffy skateboards or, you know, they're the person, the Apple commercial where it's literally all you see is this person, you know, walking down the street. They've got their earbuds in. They're obviously listening to their tunes. And it's just like, oh, wow, aren't they cool? You know, they're so secure in who they are. And they're just walking down the street enjoying life, right? Okay. Number eight, leadership. Okay. You know, you want to feel like you are first, that you're a very important person or that you're in control. We all have issues about wanting to feel that we're in control. And so there's those two different yin and yang of that leadership. And that can be conveyed in being the first person on your block to get that brand new Tesla, right? Which also ties into pride and prestige. It can also be that, you know, that you can control your destiny. So let's go back to that feeling of the the type 2 diabetes health coach. So they are helping their clients put some control into their destiny, to help control their health with better eating habits, getting movement in there, right? And having that extra energy, all these different things that they can do. All right. Number 9, instant gratification. Well, hopefully I'm giving you some instant gratification right here and now, right? But it's that catering to a sense of urgency. Clients and all consumers have become hardwired to expect instant gratification. And that's whether or not you're working B2B or B2C. And so that could be that within 24 hours, this is going to start to take, this aging, anti-aging cream is going to start to take effect. Or it can be, we're going to start implementing this immediately on the fly, you know, so that you're going to start to see results. All right, number 10. It's time. You know, we're all busier than ever. You'd think with all the electronics and all the devices that we would be saving time, but instead it's given us so many more distractions and things that seems like the list gets bigger and bigger. And there actually is scientific evidence to show that people are literally busier than ever. So all of us desire more free time, you know, to pursue our personal interests, to spend time with family, you know, whatever that is. Maybe it is to work on your business and build this dream business, whatever that is. This time is a very powerful emotion. And it also translates into that motivator, right? And so you can think of all kinds of examples of how you can save time, you know? And it could be from the Swiffer, how you can dust really fast, you know, or you sweep under all your furniture. That's a great one. It's like, whoa, they're done. And their whole house looks beautiful, right? I mean, that literally in a 30-second commercial, you see how they've used time and associated it with feeling pride and prestige in how their home looks, and that then they could relax and kick back. Okay, so those were the top 10. You know, however, there are many emotional triggers that evoke feelings among your target audience that will move them into action. The goal is to give your ideal clients a reason to connect with you and to make them feel something, okay, when they see, hear, or read your content, however they digest it. And a great resource is Plutchik's Wheel of Emotions. You can Google Wheel of Emotions to find the graphic. And it's going to provide you with this visual range of emotions. So that way you can help you identify which emotions will best appeal to your prospective clients through your product or service. Okay, so every episode, I want to provide an exercise. So today, what we're going to talk about is, how does your buyer motivation have an emotional appeal? And let me tell you, they all do. So you want to incorporate emotional triggers into your sales and to attract and connect and to drive those motivations, because that's going to make a difference. So first, you're going to identify your client desired outcome. What's the perceived benefit and which emotions? That's our whole client why exercise. And so what are the emotions? What are the motivations that connect with that big so they can? Okay. Next, you want to associate a tone to communicate the emotion. And certainly something like the type 2 diabetes, you're going to have a more serious tone. Language. What language will you use to really provide an emotional response, to get that back? Okay. And next is visual. And you've all heard a picture is worth a thousand words. And I want to give you a quick piece of information. Scientists believe that the brain is able to process images approximately 60,000 times more quickly than it processes similar information in a written form. Okay. So, you know, this is such a great tool that you can pick images that match up with your product or service, the motivations and the emotions that can represent how they're going to feel. All of this using emotions and motivations and communicating your client why enables you to immediately pique their interest and secure their attention. It's an effective way to break down barriers to attract and connect to your prospective clients. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. And my purpose is for you to get more clients. I'm Lynn Whitbeck, and I'm thrilled and grateful you joined me today. If you have a question or would like to suggest topics for discussion, please email me at jointheconversation@petitetoqueen. Petite to Queen. And you can connect with me on our website. And of course, I'm the only Lynn Whitbeck on LinkedIn. And to stay current on all of our insightful advice, our breakthrough advantages, and never miss a single episode of Get More Clients, you can sign up for our weekly wisdoms newsletter at petitetoqueen.com. And next week on Get More Clients, we will be exploring how to build out your ideal client avatar, which will enable you to gain a clear picture of what you should allocate, focus, and coordinate, and where that should go for your sales resources. And I am so excited to see you next week on Get More Clients so we can do just that every week. Work together and plot through your sales strategy and all the tips, the tools, the exercises, and the resources you need to get more clients.